6 p.m.
Hey, good evening. I'd like to call the Wednesday, August 1st, 2018 meeting of the South County, San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Here.
Here.
Here. If you'll all join me with in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Brings us to agenda review. Is there anyone request a change to the agenda?
No.
Okay, we'll accept the agenda as presented. That brings us to public comment for items that are not appearing on the agenda. Is there any public comment?
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I would again ask your board to rescind the censure of Mayor Hill, to censure Mayor Scholes, to correct the record of Mary Lucy. Seems to me that now that you have a new administrator and it's been some time since you had a newsletter, perhaps that would be the way to correct the record and put the actual facts in a document that updates the public. There's a lot of other things that the public needs introduction to your administrator. They need to be brought along in the fact that there'll be some rate increases associated with the new costs of the redundancy project. So there's some things to talk about. And like I said, it's been a while since you've had a newsletter. I would again ask your board to consider civil action against John Wallace. That's not going to go away, and I think you need to do your job and consider it. The last thing, I made a discovery this week. Recently you had a performance review of your legal counsel, and I remember when totally space his name, first name Keith, last name what is it? Collins. Sorry. I was going to say Wallace, and I know it was that wasn't right. Keith Collins, when you hired his firm as a sort of backup counsel, yes, they are a special counsel to this board, but you also, by motion, said to your staff to, Ms. Austin, are you not interested in what I have to say?
You done with public comment? Or
no, I'm not
well,
done.
Continue.
But just notice that you were not paying attention. The motion that was made was that your board would go out for RFP for legal counsel. And if Mr. Trujillo or Mr. Collins wanted to submit bids for that work, that would be fine. That's their prerogative. But your minutes that reflect that board action do not say that. So somewhere between the motion that was passed unanimously by your board and the adoption of the minutes, the motion changed. And that's just one instance. I certainly haven't taken the time to go back and look at everything, but it raises some suspicion as to why that was done. And brings me back to having more expansive minutes so that you have context and you have sort of a better record of what actually went on.
I think you're 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Anyone else have public comment?
Chris Victorine.
And I again request that the board pursue civil action against John Wallace. As previously noted, the Knudsen report clearly identified that there was a decline in cash and cash equivalents of about $7 million during the last 10 years of John Wallace's tenure as district administrator. In the past, the board drug its feet and felony counts could not be pursued due to statute of limitations. There are statute of limitations for civil suits. If this board drags its feet like its predecessor, you are essentially telling us to talk to the hand. You don't want to hear it. Protecting John Wallace is more important than doing the right thing and protecting your constituents. At least do your due diligence and have the conversation. Thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board, and we will move on to the consent agenda. Is there anyone want to change anything or pull anything from the consent agenda?
I don't have anything.
Okay, I'll open up public comment on the consent agenda, please. Anyone interested in public comment? Seeing none, entertain a motion.
Move to accept the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? None. Consent agenda passes 3-0. We'll move on to the action items. District Administrator and Plant Operations Report. Mr. Gett, did you have...
Good evening, Board and members of the public. Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. Happy to report that the status of the headworks is now substantially complete. That's been there's been a longstanding punch list item to optimize the bagging system that was part of the screen system there. And so they were in last week to complete that final work. And so I'll be coming forward with a notice of completion for the headworks project. On the redundancy project, I'll be talking later on some other action items. The action really this over the past 2 weeks has been that I've been working with Kennedy Jenks. There's some project change requests, and I'll elaborate on that in staff reports 6B, C, and D, respectively. As far as the financing state, similarly, if tonight's actions carry, there could be a modification to the budget of the redundancy project, and that will also be covered in those staff reports. The primary digester rehabilitation that has been ongoing is expected to be complete on August 10th. And so at that point, it's a slow process to start it back up when you reintroduce the sludge to the digester and get it, the biology reestablished. And staff will be working to make that change once the project's completed. We received plans for raising manholes from Mike Nunley and Associates. And on Valley Road, the county had overlaid, and so we have some manholes to adjust the grade. Just there's four manholes, and we'll be moving forward with soliciting quotes for that service. Let's see. Personnel policy manual update. That's still in some final processing at the staff level, and we'll be coming back with a final document at a future date for the board. The contract with Moss Levy is in the works. It's with council for review for form and effect right now. So that's been prepared by staff and forwarded to council and should be ready to go to Levy for final signature this week. No update on Central Coast Blue. And let's see. And that moves me into the plant operations report. As I reported last time, we had a violation on July 4th and 5th. Where we exceeded for total fecal coliforms. We have been monitoring that more closely. We've made changes to our process that will allow us to maybe intercept those type of problems at in a quicker state. And so I would hope that certainly the frequency of those exceedances will be much reduced moving forward. And that concludes my administrator's report, unless there's questions.
Very good. I don't have it. Do you have any questions for him?
No, I do note that on the 13th of July, we had numbers creeping up again, and obviously the staff interceded to turn that back around. So that's the kind of performance I'm very pleased to see, and good work to make sure that we didn't have any additional exceedance there.
No questions.
Okay, any public comment on the report?
Julie Tacker again, and I see in your upcoming agenda items the memorandum of agreement with the City of Pismo Beach for use of the district site for the Central Coast Blue Project. It says you received a draft on July 13th. And I'm curious if I can access that draft, or do I have to wait for something? Because I would like to read that before you do bring it to the board. And then because it was 2 weeks ago, I was kind of curious why it's not on this agenda with that. And then I know you're new. But historically, like forever, the plant superintendent has attended these meetings and been available for, given the report on the operations, and been available for questions for the board and the public. So I don't know if you might consider reinstating that practice, but it's just an observation that it might come in handy at some point. Thank you very much.
Any other public comment?
Hi, Colleen Kubel. Just one, and that is, thank you for that administrative report. This is what we've been wanting. This is what we've needed, and we appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? None. Okay, we will move on.
Linda, if I may, can I respond to
certainly.
That?
Go ahead.
On Ms. Tacker's one question on the memorandum of agreement with the City of Pismo, the reason why that's not before is I had substantial edits myself that I'm working through on that to return to the City of Pismo. And so at that point, I'm not ready to release it to either you or the board, but yeah, I'd be happy to share a draft of it with you once they agree to my substantial edits to it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gimp.
I also appreciate the clarification on the limit for fecal coliform that shows that we actually had multiple violations there, including the running weekly average. So I know that staff has made those reports to the water board and that we're on top of that, unfortunate as it is. But again, thanks to the staff for continuing to monitor that and keeping us out of trouble going forward.
Okay, thank you. All right. We'll move on to item 6B, the redundancy project, Kennedy Jinks project change request number 7.
Yes, thank you.
Give us an opening.
So we're asking that the Board of Directors authorize the District Administrator to execute project change request 7 to the contract with Kennedy Jinks Consultants to increase the funding allocations for phases 3, 4, 6, and 7 by $48,960. This project change request is a result of a study being done to analyze the excess generator capacity at the plant. This particular change request was known about in advance of the project and was by design preceded this way
where we didn't know how much capacity or how much additional energy demands were going to be required by the new equipment as part of the redundancy. At the 30% design stage, they were able to size those power demands, and it was determined our existing power generation at the plant is not adequate to provide standby power for all of the new redundancy equipment and the existing equipment. That being said, the capital portion of that, this particular project change request, is part of the existing $22.8 million estimate for the construction. So project funding for both the design and construction is part of that number, because this, we did anticipate having to have another generator. So it would have been a cost savings if this report came back and said we had adequate power. There would have been a reduction in the cost to the project. So this will ensure that the design allows the during power outages, us to provide power to the essential components at the plant to keep the treatment process running during an extended power outage. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Does anyone here have any questions?
No.
There is a comment that the generator will be installed on the fuel tank, and I think the fuel tank is going to be in the base right of the, like, the foundation for the generator, so the generator would be put on the foundation and not mounted directly to the fuel tank, which was kind of unclear in one of the
I'll check on that, Director Hill, and get back and elaborate on what that exactly means. It will be designed in accordance with all codes.
Do you have any more questions?
That's my only question.
Okay, I'll open to public comment on item 6B. Any public comment? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back. Want to have a motion?
I move that we authorize the district administrator to execute project change request PCR 7 to the contract with Kennedy Jenks to increase the funding allocation for phases 3, 4, 6, and 7 by $48,960.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? None. Carries 3-0. Thank you. We'll move on to 6C, redundancy project change request number 8.
Thank you. It's requested that the Board of Directors authorize the District Administrator to execute project change request 8 to the contract with Kennedy Jenks to increase the funding allocation for phases 3, 4, 6, and 7 by $167,630. Bear with me a little bit here. I feel that it's somewhat necessary for me to have a little bit of a technical conversation about why this is coming forward. So this particular item will also result in approximately additional costs of $1.5 to $2 million for a total rehab of our existing secondary clarifier. The reason this is part of the redundancy project is under the current design, we have our current plant is a primary clarifier, trickling filter, or we call it a fixed film reactor sometime, and then our secondary clarifier. The trickling filter does not produce the same quantity of sludge as an activated sludge bed. So now when we go post-redundancy and have an activated sludge bed, under peak flows, we will be moving a lot and an increased amount of sludge to our secondary clarifiers during peak flows because it will be resuspended. And so we need settling time and then the pumping capacity to actually move that sludge out of the secondary clarifier, and it's called return activated sludge. Right now, with the trickling filter, that line is supported with an 8-inch line. The new design actually requires a 20-inch line because that's the additional amount of sludge that we will have to move from the secondary clarifier back to the activated sludge tanks. So if we were to not pursue this project change request, we would not achieve full redundancy, and we would have to excessively rely on the newly constructed secondary clarifier as part of the redundancy, and we would be right back to where we aren't able to take everything, different components offline, and so we wouldn't have a fully redundant system. So this change request will result in the existing secondary clarifier, a full rehab of it, a structural analysis of it, a seismic improvement of the center pier, and it will restore it to a full an additional 30-year design life. And so I don't take this one lightly. This came to me 2 weeks ago. I actually pulled it from this agenda because I wanted to understand it better, because it is a substantial change to the redundancy project. And having reviewed this with staff and the designer and Mr. Karp, I do recommend that the board consider moving forward with this substantial change to the project to include this work for the redundancy project. And that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Did you have any?
I have no questions.
You have no questions? No, Jim.
I do have questions on this. Primarily, Kennedy Jenks is the designer of the original plant. And while I understand that the new secondary clarifier will be built to accommodate activated sludge, and I would presume that those additions to the existing secondary clarifier would be incorporated into the redundancy design, but some aspects of that that should have been foreseen. It should have been obvious to Kennedy Jenks, in my opinion, that the existing clarifier was not designed for the activated sludge components. A second part of it that concerns me is the 8-inch line. Similar question. In my view, I don't understand why Kennedy Jenks didn't know, having designed and built the plant originally, that the line out of the secondary clarifier was an 8-inch line, and why that would not have been included in the original project scoping documents. I'm also concerned that the discussion that's in the staff report and the Kennedy Jenks report on this project talks about peak flows. And peak flows, in my observation, occur during rain events from infiltration. And for many years, I've raised concerns about infiltration problems. And I've asked for prior staff, and this doesn't reflect on the current staff at all, but I've asked prior staff and administrators, technical consultants, to look into the issues of infiltration for two reasons. First of all, when we have these infiltration events, it puts our plant at risk because it challenges our systems invariably. But secondly, infiltration during rain events has its counterpart in non-rain events, which would be probably outleakage from the system. And that would be the collection systems coming into the plant. And I'm concerned about the environmental impacts of exfiltration, if you will, outflows from the opposite of infiltration events when we have rain. So those are my concerns. The potential necessity of increasing construction at the plant to handle events which probably should be dealt with in other fashions, if that's indeed the case, infiltration issues, the environmental impacts of that, and then again, why did Kennedy Jenks not see this and incorporate it into their original bid? Which seemed to me that that would have been a matter of course, especially for them. Someone like Carollo, who perhaps didn't do the original design of the plant, I could perhaps spot them a little bit of leeway on that. But with Kennedy Jenks, I'm discouraged to see, we didn't know is kind of what it looks like to me. Gee, we didn't know or anticipate this. And my question is, why not? So that's my thoughts on it. I'm reluctant to approve this in this magnitude. Again, $1.5 to $2 million hit to the project. Again, I understand that this clarifier needs to be upgraded as to effectively match the new one, but I'm not seeing why that wasn't foreseen in the project scoping.
So that's a valid question, Jim, as far as why Kennedy, and it's actually a question that I asked the design team, why post 30% are we talking about this 8-inch return line? And they did indicate that they felt like that was an oversight on their project, but they didn't feel that would have changed the outcome or the cost or anything. There's been no cost impact from that oversight of not the other way they explain that is they hadn't fully selected a process, so the 8-inch line maybe wasn't an issue. If you were talking MBR or an additional trickling filter, that 8-inch line would have been adequate. But yes, certainly once a project was selected, activated sludge, that 8-inch line should have been a red flag to them as being a major cost impact to move forward with that. So from the design team stance, they're indicating, and I don't disagree, that this is discovered now. Had it been discovered early, it would have been the same cost impacts to the project as what's being proposed right now, is how they respond to that. On the infiltration and exfiltration question, certainly that's something myself as the administrator, I need to work with our collection agencies, AG Oceano and Grover Beach, to move forward with infiltration reducing type of projects. And I know there's been efforts in the past, and I know even going back to the Wallace years, I've read the 2011 infiltration study that was done by the Wallace Group. And a lot of that's been documented. I think that work was probably adequate work at the time, and probably needs to be updated at some point in the near future so we can get a handle on the amount of water coming into the plant during these rain events.
Thank you for the discussion. Going back to the Kennedy Jenks response, an MBR is something that we considered on this and rejected. That was a separate design effort or a review that we looked at. They made a proposal for that. We didn't do that, and partly at their recommendation, by the way, that they didn't see the cost effectiveness of that. An additional trickling filter as an option wouldn't get us to the reduced effluent numbers that we need for meeting new discharge requirements from the regional board. So that wouldn't be a really valid thing, in my view, to hold us up with. That leaves the activated sludge, which is pretty much where everybody was going in the beginning of the project. And again, it comes back to my question, why wasn't this foreseen in the original project scoping? So I guess what I'm looking for is some additional negotiation with Kennedy Jenks and see if there's a way that we can meet with them and discuss what's going on here, because
I'm not really happy with seeing this. Oh, by the way, we didn't think about this early on, even though we built the original plant. That just doesn't sit well with me. So it seems to me that that should have been foreseen. As I do understand that there's worn parts on the existing clarifier. I get that. Worn parts need to be replaced, probably as a maintenance item rather than perhaps part of the redundancy project. We can have that discussion at a later time. But the modifications to the existing clarifier and the implications of the existing plant design, I'm not willing to say that, oh, that's okay, it was just an oversight. I think that should have been scoped in the original project description.
And I don't think they would disagree with the fact that that should have been scoped into the original project description, having had a conversation with the design team today. I do not believe that they would disagree with your assertion that's an oversight on their part. But I think they go back to the cost implications would be the same. Maybe talking to them about relief on so we've got project schedule issues would be the one thing that I see as overhanging, because this actually adds 10 weeks to the project schedule because it's a substantial design effort to add this. Maybe putting that onus back on Kennedy Jenks to reduce that 10-week schedule down in some manner to not jeopardize project schedule as a result of that oversight.
Yeah, at least that. I'm also just not happy that, you know, oh yeah, we had an oversight, we're going to stick you another $2 million. Kennedy Jenks was a competitive bidder on this project, so I pretty much expect them to look at that and the implications of that going forward.
During my conversation, Director Hill, I was unaware that they were the original designers of the plant, and that may have altered my approach in the discussion with them when they said that they were, they had missed that component.
I just would hope that possibly staff could go back and have another discussion with them about, what should and should not perhaps have been foreseen when they bid this project.
I think that's what you said you were going to talk to them about, the 10 weeks.
So, yes, I'll definitely go back and talk to them about the 10 weeks and about the additional project schedule and see what relief they can provide as far as project schedule to make sure that we hit the February, March, don't quote me on that, of 2019 final plans, rather than pushing that out an additional 10 weeks.
Yeah, that's another. I appreciate your concern for that, because in our current environment of construction resources being used to the maximum pretty much already, getting a delay of almost 3 months is, prices go up almost by the day.
As the administrator and speaking for the operators, I spoke to the CPO about this item. We do think it's important to have that complete redundancy on the project. And so I guess that's why I'm emphasizing the importance of getting this upgrade to the secondary clarifier achieved as part of the redundancy project, because we want that completed redundancy to be able to take stuff offline.
Yeah, I absolutely endorse that.
Yeah, and so, but I do think there are some discussions that we could have with Kennedy Jenks to soften this and still advance the project in a reasonable time frame.
That's what I'm looking for. So thank you for that.
Very good. Thank you very much.
I appreciate that.
Appreciate all your work with this. We have public comment.
Julie Tacker and I, too, think Kennedy Jenks should have foreseen this. The rate study that you put out in 2016 and the project that was described at that time is the extended aeration project. That you knew, this district knew which project they were going with. As Jim said, the MBR tech memo number 7 was a sort of a sideshow and wasn't about pinning down which project, because you already had gone to the ratepayers knowing that you were going with extended aeration. This extra $2 million coming in this late hurts you, because had that been part of the original rate structure, your ratepayers may have said, oh, well, wait a minute, because now the rate is higher. Instead, you are piecemealing rates by having to go back and ask for additional rate increases. And that is disingenuous to the ratepayer. The I&I, the infiltration report from the Wallace Group back in 2011, as I recall, the largest culprit, the largest component of infiltration was coming out of Oceano. And it seems to me that that needs to be addressed so that the demand wouldn't be so much on the improvements to the plant. Is there a mechanism for the district, your district, to encourage their district? I don't know if it's a legal mechanism to tighten up their ship so that they are not leaking into your systems and into your facility, and then you have to pay your ratepayers, the ratepayers of the entire district have to pay to treat the additional water. That just doesn't seem fair. You've got to have a tight ship at home. I like that you're going to go back to Kennedy Jenks, and I appreciate the conversation, and that seems to be the direction that your board has given Jeremy. Adjusting the schedule is great because it has the larger cost implications, but why not going to their rate, going to their $167,000 and just saying, look, you need to do this work at less cost because this was your oversight, and it's going to cost the ratepayers a considerable amount of money. So I'm hopeful that you can negotiate that as well.
Any other comment? Okay. Seeing none.
Are you ready for
back to
motion?
The board. Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. I move that the board authorize the district administrator to execute project change request PCR-9 to the contract with Kennedy Jenks Consultants to increase the funding allocation for phases 3, 4, 6, and 7 by 13,000. Whoops, I'm reading from the wrong one. By $167,630.
So did you say PCR-8?
PCR-8, yes.
Madam Chair, I would rather rather than second a motion of that nature, that we provide direction to the staff to go back to Kennedy Jenks and get them to sharpen their pencils on it a bit more and look at what should have perhaps been foreseen at the time that the job was bid competitively by Kennedy Jenks, and see if we can come up with a lower cost, more timely solution.
Okay, so did you want to make a motion to approve with that direction to staff?
I'd just rather give direction to staff at this point and not address this issue. Perhaps we can table it until the staff has had time to put our ducks in a row and have a discussion with Kennedy Jenks.
Would that continue a time frame on it, though?
If this is not, well, that.
So,
what are the consequences if we don't approve this tonight?
So, I think we're just talking about the 2 weeks. I do think that any negotiations could happen over the 2 weeks. The only risk would be if they weren't able to move off of that. That you know, we're 2 weeks out into the future, but. Yes, the negotiations as far as the schedule and the scope and the cost of the additional work could be negotiated in the next 2 weeks prior to the next board meeting.
Okay, what do we want to do then? Rephrase the motion?
Rephrase the motion to bring it back on the next agenda. With the next 2 weeks, you can think you can get another...
Yes, I'll bring back another proposal in 2 weeks. You know, obviously, I can't commit to it being changed, but I can certainly have that discussion with Kennedy Jenks and the design team, and see if we can come to a more agreeable picture on this project change request.
Okay, Jim, would you like to briefly raise the motion?
I think that. I don't see that there's a rush on this to that it couldn't be dealt with in 2 weeks after the staff's had time to interface with Kennedy Jenks. So, for example, the last change requests we did were that we officially approved were several months after the fact. So I don't see this being a showstopper as far as they're not going to stop work. Waiting on the approval.
Are you prepared? You want to make a motion?
I would move that we table this for 2 weeks to enable the staff to present a discussion of the issues to Kennedy Jenks regarding the proposed project change request number 8, and based on the results of that negotiation to come back to the board in 2 weeks with an updated proposal.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Carries 3-0. All right, let's move on to Project 60, Redundancy Project Change Number 9.
Yes, it's recommended that the Board of Directors authorize the District Administrator to execute Project Change Request 9 to the contract with Kennedy Jenks Consultants to increase the funding allocations for phases 3, 4, 6, and 7 by $13,780. This particular project change request is, I want to start off by saying, is not directly tied to the redundancy project. This is a housekeeping issue that came up during a regional board audit of our site, where they noticed that we have short walls at the back of our sludge drying beds that showed some evidence that when we were removing that sludge that it spills back against the chain link fence. And so the concern is that that could potentially leave the property, and that's not allowable. So we were recommended to improve that, and so staff, when they met with the design team back in June prior to my arrival, asked Kennedy Jenks to prepare this project change request to modify the walls on the sludge drying beds. And so with that, I've brought this forward due to previous technical consultant commitments to bring this project change request forward, and so that's why it's before you today. But I'll reiterate that it's not directly tied to the redundancy project and is not definitively required to be done by Kennedy Jenks and could be pursued with different avenues to get done. And that completes my report.
Okay, thank you.
I guess my issues with this is trying to fold this into the redundancy project, which is, as you noted, is unrelated, and I certainly see and understand the viability of this suggestion, and absolutely, we want to make sure that we're not pushing material over the fence inadvertently with a front end loader, and it appears that an obvious solution would be to increase the size of the wall there, so give a backstop when we're moving material with a front end loader. So that seems perfectly reasonable. Putting this on to Kennedy Jenks doesn't do the job for us, in my view. First of all, we're going to have to wait until the 60% plan submittal. I think this could be done a lot faster. We just had the sludge handling facility built in relatively short order by a local contractor. This seems to be a similar type of project that could probably be designed much faster locally and built probably before the 60% plan even comes to pass. So I'm concerned that when the regional board pointed this out to us that we would look to expeditiously comply and make sure that we're not potentially in violation of any discharge issue. So my preference on this would be to probably have this bid and constructed locally and expeditiously rather than kind of put it on the long-term train of the redundancy project.
What he said.
I agree with that approach.
That's what
very definitely.
I had planned that it's not necessary for the redundancy, and everything he said is correct, that we need to just get someone to do it and get it done.
Right. So on that note, Director, so I should come back with a budget request to do that with a local consultant and get support through the board that way and move it forward with local resources?
I would certainly support a budget adjustment as necessary to make that happen, and hopefully we could do a request for bid for the design and construction of this and expeditiously.
And I do want to add something to put the board and the public at ease. We have, I believe, 7 drying beds, and this particular issue is bad on 4 of those drying beds. And with our centrifuge, we don't really even have to regularly use. They're a redundant system, so I don't want anybody to think that right now that we're under this condition where we've got this spilling going on, that the drying beds aren't currently being used and all of our solids are being handled with a centrifuge. So just wanted to clarify that this is not a chronic and persistent issue that's occurring right now.
Thank you. That's an important point.
Yes.
And still, I think, though, if we've had issues with the centrifuges in the past and the new one's just coming back online and reliability is still to be determined, I guess, so getting our redundant system able to fully perform and meet all of our requirements would seem to be in the best interest of the district, in my view.
Okay.
Public comment on item 60?
Julie Tacker, and I think the first thing that struck me was that there was some obligation to the previous administrators to go this route with Kennedy Jenks. That's very uncomfortable. This proposal, the way this read, and I'm glad to hear that you're all willing to go another direction, is sole sourcing. We don't want to do that, ever. It is something that you do when you have an emergency and you get a reputable firm to fix whatever's broken at that time. I'm hopeful. I didn't quite hear it. Jim said request for bid, which is great. So I'm hoping that there will be more than one consultant contractor approached. And in the meantime, it seems to me that your skip loader could be using a smaller bucket or more trips, something that isn't you're not pushing as much material against that back wall. It's just best practices to take smaller bites. I drove a tractor a couple times. I want to say something about these three items you just had on this agenda. Your fixed film reactor is a ticking time bomb. It's been running 24/7 for most of my life. And it's going to break. It's not if, it's when. And I feel like these change orders coming from Kennedy Jenks, they have you, or they think they have you, over a barrel. I like to see the pushback tonight. I like to see the board work together, because they do have you over a barrel. You are in a hurry to get the project done. But when your ratepayers' money is at stake, you don't want to just keep shoveling money at them when you still need to be objective. And I was really uncomfortable to see this agenda with these three items, and I really felt like they were taking advantage of you, and I'm glad to see the work that you're doing tonight to push back.
Any other public comment?
Hi, Colleen Kubel. I totally agree with Director Hill's request and recommendation that you go to a local contractor and get all of the engineering and the work done locally. It's always good for us to do that. The big projects are a different story. But when you're going to something like this, it's always better to use local people, local engineers, get it done faster, and save money just by doing that, not pushing things out and adding it onto something else. So we totally agree that that's what should be done. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay. Seeing none, we'll bring it back. Can we get a motion on this item?
Madam Chair, I would propose that, and I would move that we direct staff to put this project out to bid with a description for the design and construction of the additional walls at the sludge drying bed, and seek local bids for design and construction that could be done in a more timely fashion.
Second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Carries 3-0. Moves on to item 7, miscellaneous items, written communications, water smart, Title 14, water reclamation and reuse grant endorsement, Central Coast Blue. Did you have any?
Yeah, I'm not sorry. Sure if I'm supposed to speak on this, Linda. I'll just let you know what transpired. So this is a result of the Public Works Director, Ben Fine, at the City of Pismo, and the WSC, the design team for Central Coast Blue, applying for a grant for the project. And so they reached out to me for a letter of support, given prior board direction as an agency that supports the project. I went ahead and signed that letter and returned it because it was time sensitive before I could get it here to the board to let you know about it. And so that letter did go out as district correspondence.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any comments from the board?
First of all, I commend staff for the timely action. Good job, Jeremy. And we do note, we are aware that Central Coast Blue is something of a, it's new technology that's being tried out pretty much for the first time. It's not guaranteed to work, but there is a fallback position of pretty much existing recycling technology. So, getting a grant to support this seems absolutely reasonable, and hopefully the experiment will be a success, and if not, we have a fallback position. So I think the district is in good shape with this. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate the time sensitivity of this and that we are having a copy of it. Thank you.
Public comment on the item? Seeing none. Any board member communications?
None.
I would again request, as some members of the public did, that the board take up the question of pursuing some recovery with Mr. Wallace.
And, the, okay. Do I do public comment on board member communications? Anyway, in the closed session, we're... There's nothing. We're going to cancel closed session.
Thank you, Chair Austin. Yes, there is nothing new to report. It was placed on there as a placeholder.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move.
Is there any details that the council can discuss regarding this case just for public information purposes? Or is there...
It is a public record. The case has been filed. I can answer basic questions about the case, if you have any.
I guess my question is what's the district's involvement in it? And... you know, just the basic nature of it in, 40 words or less kind of thing.
And that's a tough call for an attorney to keep it down to 40 words, but I'll do my best. The district owns an easement that is the subject of this lawsuit, and the plaintiff's attorney has named the district as a named defendant. So obviously we're protecting the district's interest in this matter, and we'll hopefully extricate ourselves from it with as little cost as possible.
Thank you. I appreciate the discussion.
Okay. You want to make a motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
Okay. We'll adjourn 6:57.